WGN live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on a frigid and frosty Michigan Avenue, a pipe bursting Michigan Avenue, if you will. Also an accident laden Michigan Avenue. I'd planned to stop in a little bit early and talk with Scott about things near and dear to everybody as we kind of ease into 2018. But it sounded great, Camille, right? You know, he was there.
It's
kind of, I know he prepares so well, has high level guests and is talking tech on a regular basis. He did a little bit of Ann Landers, right? You know, he was sort of kind of there as the shoulder to not crying, but
supportive.
As a consulting force in the world of tech. So excited that went okay. Got here just under the wire and excited for the show today. We've got an eclectic blend of cool guests and not cool, no pun intended, because it is cold. You know, have you ever had a pipe burst at your house, Camille?
At my apartment in college, but it wasn't from the cold.
What was it from?
A construction
ISIS
error.
Or something? That's no
construction error.
No laughing matter. Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. 312-981-7200. Anybody has any remedies for furnace related problems or pipes or anything, let us know. We're definitely dealing with that at home as well. But let's just block it out for the next 2 hours and enjoy some cool guests coming up. We're going to have Ryan Burns and Kevin McMullen in from the Blanchard. This is one in a city filled with amazing places to eat, enjoy, and incredible talent on the food side. These guys are doing it and doing it right. They will be joining us just after that first break. And then Eileen Ogans, a travel guru we've had around before, takingthekids.com, longtime syndicated columnist. She'll be talking cruising, which would be nice. That sounds kind of like a nice alternative to driving on the Eisenhower here in below zero temperature. Spice Note Tequila. Camille, have you ever heard of Spice Note Tequila? I know you're a tequila fan. You attended Tequila Fest.
Yes,
are you familiar?
I've not heard of them.
You will. You know, after this, we're going to have brand founder, visionary, Sheetal Bhagat is going to be on with us about Spice Note Tequila. So it's all the things you know and love about tequila, so much more brand new infused tequilas. We'll talk with her a little bit later on the program. And Jamie Little from NASCAR on Fox. She took her family from Las Vegas. She's a native, grew up in San Diego, been living in Vegas for so long, just moved to Indianapolis. So she's, that wouldn't be too bad. So she got a white Christmas, but now she's getting a kind of an Arctic blast. So dealing with that, we'll talk with Jamie a little bit later on the program as well. So a quick break when we come back. And of course, your thoughts, if you want to be part of the bona fide ride of the show, 312-981-7200. So many great entries last week. You can text them in, you can call, you can talk to Camille, you can do all that stuff. You win $25 gift card to Bona Beef. So keep it here. It's Dane. It's On the Road, 720 WGN.
Hi, Barry Sterner, founder of your number one home mortgage lender, Townstone Financial. I continue to get called
live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And we often talk about transformative travel. We'll talk about a lot of stars of the food world as well, because as people kind of travel to Chicago, it has become that culinary destination that is almost second to none, certainly America's great restaurant town. And excited to have in studio, and these guys have been doing it and doing it right for a while here, the Blanchard is the Jean Bonchet Award-winning neighborhood restaurant, best new restaurant. Nomination from Chicago Magazine and a 4-star review from Phil Vitale. That is high praise. And in studio, executive chef Ryan Burns and chef de cuisine Kevin McMullen. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having us.
You guys are going to be like maybe 2 inches away from the microphone here. So let's talk a little bit about it. You know, in a city that has so many great restaurants and great chefs and great personalities, what is it like for you guys to be able to kind of execute your vision in what you're doing over there at the Blanchard?
A lot of it is us relying on the guests. They kind of tell us what we want, but
I mean, from an ordering perspective, right?
Ordering, but at the same time, we're just having fun. We're playing with the ingredients, and we're coming up with new flavors and textures that through techniques that we've learned in the past, and we actually come up with and work on new techniques that we can find and integrate that into our menu.
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, we focus on ingredients a lot, and we take the time to seek out what we can. You know, it's hard right now in the Midwest, being winter. Everybody's thinking about, you know, potatoes and short ribs, and we're trying to liven up some menu items and have some fun. So
now, do you find that too? I mean, Chicago is a diverse palate. People are excited about food. They're excited about different kinds of cuisine. So we're usually open to things, but it's a meat and potatoes kind of town, especially this time. I mean, you want some hearty comfort food. It's cold out there, right? But you guys have modern French. It's approachable. So talk a little bit about the vision on the culinary side, as far as some of the ways that you're kind of easing people into those new dishes.
We tend to make flavors and that are a little bit lighter. So we have a steak dish on that's right now. It has hollandaise and a heavy mushroom condiment, and it all sounds really rich. But when you eat the dish,
it does. That sounds great.
But when you eat the dish, it's really light and pleasant. And the strong flavors of charred vegetables and a charcoal oil gives it that roundabout flavor, like you're at a backyard barbecue in the middle of winter.
Not any barbecue that I've been at. Not in my backyard. Well, think about this. Yeah. When it comes to celebrating, you guys have had some really high praise, and so you had some great recognition, the 4 stars, best new restaurant, and the awards, and people are celebrating a lot. This is one of those kind of tweener weeks, right? You get done with a lot of the friends and family that you have on the Christmas side, and people kind of gear up and they want to do something for New Year's, and Chicago is a great place to do that, right? So maybe, Kevin, talk a little bit about what you guys have planned for New Year's. I'm sure you're going to want to stick with some of the things people know and love about the restaurant, but also kind of step it up for the holiday.
Yeah, we're ready to have some fun. We're doing an 8-course prefix tasting menu, starting with a few snacks. A warm gift is how we're phrasing it. It's going to be a warm broth with marinated salmon roe. We're really excited about it. Edwards Country ham broth, really, really tasty. Leading people right through into, you know, the mains. We've got some fun desserts planned. It's not your traditional prefix where everybody expects just a couple options. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds cool. Have you guys, like, how much thought process went into kind of the brainstorming for that? Because you want to kind of pull out all the stops, but you also want it, and you mentioned approachable is something that you guys are proud of being. Mm-hmm. You want to make it something that people aren't going to get scared away by. You want it to be somewhat affordable, right? You want people to do it.
Yeah, we always try to search for things that are intriguing while it's an approachable price, but it's fun for us in the kitchen as well. There are unique ingredients like sturgeon and squab, and harvest and cheese from Vermont all along the menu. But we want to celebrate and close 2017 with a bang and give you a great experience.
So Ryan, of course, executive chef Ryan Burns, want to let the listeners know that we're talking with him. You mentioned Vermont. I always love the fact that Chicago, not only now, and we hear it from listeners all the time, is a magnet for people that want to experience great food. You know, they'll come here. It's a tourist destination. It's a culinary tourist destination, you know, famous for so many different things. But it's always kind of cool on the culinary side, that talent, where it comes from, you know, where you guys come from and all that. So talk a little bit about Vermont, a little bit about your background. Of course, the Alinea street cred, that's amazing stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about some of that stuff in Vermont.
Vermont was a molding experience. It was just kind of like another branch off of the tree, per se. I got very hands-on local foragers dropping off mushrooms and edible plants every day. The farmer would drop off a pig. And it was a really unique experience because that's the first time I ever butchered a pig and the meat was red, like beef, close to it. And he goes, that's how it's supposed to look. And that was a life-changing experience for me there. And then just the ingredients, they're just so good, so fresh. Vegetables picked that morning, fish off a boat that day. You really don't need to do much to it. And that was a beautiful part of that experience, is having those ingredients so readily available all the time, and the seasonality just flowed with you. I got to work on the menu every day based on availability, so it really taught me how to, you know, use my brain and mold myself into a more developed cook.
But it's experiences like that, not only that put you in different situations that you don't always find yourself in, and even as accomplished as you were at the time, probably used to maybe commodity pork, right, where it just looks a certain way and is a certain way, and now that you can open your mind, not only that these things exist, but ways to incorporate them into the dishes. So you take that, and for those listeners out there, and we talk travel all the time, if you have, and it's an amazing country, and there are amazing things to see all over the place, Vermont is one of those places. It is a world away. It's like an encapsulated, beautiful, certainly on the nature side, right?
Yeah.
Great, friendly people, but it is remote. And you have to kind of forage for things, right? Work with farmers in order to make things happen.
Yes, it is a different world, and the pace is a lot slower, and it was very relaxing and soothing to live there. But, you know, the ingredients, everything was just at a hand's grasp. So it was a very life-changing experience for me.
And then you take that, and then you're here kind of, I don't want to say the eye of the storm, but certainly, you know, under the microscope in the culinary world, working as part of Grant Ackett's great team over at Alinea, right? So you take that in the middle of nowhere, making magic happen. You show up here, and you're working with, you know, one of the, you know, best recognized restaurants. Like, how much of a diversion was that from, you know, where you went there, you're able to do things on your own, you come here kind of in the middle of the whole thing?
It was a huge diversion. It's kind of like reading a book and the plot completely turns on you and you're like, wait, who is this character coming out?
Right.
It was such a life-changing experience working for Grant. I have so much respect for him. You think about the details that go into a dish and he will then take it twice as far as you thought of, because he bridges the dish, the details in that dish, to the service and how it is presented to the guest, and all in one thought. So it was very intriguing and inspiring person to work for.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then to be able to take everything that you've learned, kind of all the ways that you've kind of grown as a talent, bring it to the Blanchard. I think that's exciting stuff. Kevin McMullen, Chef de Cuisine over there, member of Zagat's 2014 30 Under 30 class, and Among Eaters 2012 Young Guns Final 50. So talk a little bit about your background. Like, what gets you to the point where you are at this point? You guys are both really young guys. I mean, really, to be at a point where you're controlling, steering your own boat, kind of controlling your destiny on the food side, that's an enviable position. I think that's exciting stuff, not only for you guys, but certainly people who dine with you. So Kevin, talk a little bit about your journey here.
Absolutely. I've been cooking in Chicago for a little over 10 years. I've worked at some strange restaurants, some awesome restaurants. We all have a strange path, and I think mine really started at a restaurant called Kith & Kin. I was working for a chef named Andrew Brochu. He's now the chef at Royster Restaurant.
Wow.
One of the most inherently talented people I've ever had the pleasure to work for. And I really found myself cooking there. And, you know, from there went on to move on to L Ideas. And that place was fun. Worked for Chef Philip Foss, had a blast. We cooked a lot of fun food. That restaurant is completely open. You walk in there, there's no walls between the kitchen. It's a table where we plate. Behind that's the line where we cook, and the guests can come walk around and have fun there. And that translated into my, you know, experience. Now we have an open kitchen at the Blanchard. We get to interact with the guests a lot, which is great. You know, we have a chef's counter you can sit at, and it's a blast because you get to talk to the people. They ask about your experience. They ask what you're doing. You get to talk to them and run them through what an ingredient is, and it's fun. It's a blast.
See, that's great to say that they get to ask what you're doing. You have the right answers. You have reasons for doing what it is that you're doing. You mentioned it's the interaction. And Ryan, I know you mentioned that as far as some of the things on the menu, it's like, well, the interaction, the suggestions, you know, what it's what the diners are kind of looking for, that you guys are sort of being able to deliver there in the restaurant. That's got to be very cool.
It is very cool. And it's very achieving when a guest understands the dish and who's making the dish and who designed that dish, and they can taste our character behind it and our thoughts. And
they can taste really, your thoughts. That's very zen, guys. Yeah, I'm just telling you now.
And it's it's very inspiring. It makes us just want to do better every time. And that's why we're cooking, is, you know, to make people happy.
Well, I don't know if you could do much better, if people could do much better as far as their New Year's Eve than coming up and spending it with the Blanchard. And the price, $90 per person. Wine pairings, $45 or $75 if you want to add that stuff to it, $90. Now, that is kind of price considerate. You think about this elevated cuisine, you think of you guys, think of the background, the restaurant and the accolades and those kind of things. That's very, I would think, affordable. You know, we kind of run the gamut here, all sorts of different things in price points, but I think that's great. And let's go into a little bit. I know we mentioned a few of the things. But let's run through that prefix menu you're going to have on New Year's Eve.
Like I said, we're starting with a warm gift, which is an Edwards ham consomme. We're serving over salmon roe we marinate in-house. We're really excited about that. It's a great way to start. Warm entrance on a cold night.
Kind of like when your mom has a cup of hot chocolate ready for you when you come in out from playing in the snow outside.
Nice.
So that's the inspiration, right? It's bitter cold in Chicago, so we want to just really invite you and warm you up just from the beginning, and then take you on the path with that tasting menu.
You got the smoked salmon, you've got the squab with the crispy corn, you've got the cheeses, you know, and then kind of finished up the Florida citrus parfait, or you've got the parsnip. The parsnip's very popular these days, right?
Absolutely. There's your winter flavors right there.
You're working with that, and you're going to take care of, I mentioned it's $90 per person, the BlanchardChicago.com. I'm guessing there may be one or two reservations available, not a ton, but taking care, and this is it. This is part of you guys. You're taking care of the diners there. You're making them happy, interacting with them. You're going to take care of our WGN listeners as well. So the first three reservations from WGN listeners will get their companion's meal on the house. Right? Now, that's pretty great.
It is great.
That's us trying to speak to the approachability. At that price point, $90, we feel, you know, you can really come in, have a good time, have a great meal, and not break the bank.
Wow. 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 Okay. So, BlanchardChicago.com, WGN listener special. First three reservations from our listeners will get their companion's meal on the house. All reservations that mention WGN will raise money for breast cancer awareness and research through, now this is it, right? This is the Cassandrosaurus Rex Cancer Foundation. I know near and dear to your heart, you guys are looking to support not only the meals and all those kind of things, but some of these good causes. So which one of you guys wants to go deep on the Cassandrosaurus Rex Cancer Foundation, kind of fill us in?
You know, I'm sure we both can speak on it, but I can start off. Cassandra is our GM, and she is in remission. She battled breast cancer for a little over a year, and she's doing great. She has a great spirit. But her foundation is to help donate to the other fundraisers for breast cancer awareness and studies for that. It's just so inspiring working with her, and we really want to support her. And it's really important in our culture in the restaurant that we treat each other with family, and that there's no bridge or gap between the front of the house and the back of the
house. It's important stuff, and you look at it, and it's one of those situations that touches a lot of people, whether personally with you guys, with Cassandra, or whether it's family or friends. I think everybody's got a story to tell, so to help raise some awareness and some funds on that as well. We're going to have information on the Cassandrosaurus Rex Cancer Foundation. We'll have that link up at WGNradio.com as well. And so before we let you go, and again, the website, theBlanchardChicago.com, let us know, you know, how to keep track of you guys social media-wise, if people want to get it. I know you love to interact. Not everybody can always be in the restaurant with you. If they want to follow you on social media, catch up with your adventures, how can they do that? Kevin, you first?
On Instagram, I can be followed at KTMCMU.
And then you can follow me on Instagram at Ryan, BRNS, 9. And that's on my Instagram.
Ryan, BRNS9. So we're going to take a break, and we encourage everybody. Thank you guys for coming in. Of course, encourage everybody to get over to theBlanchardChicago.com and get out there. See them on New Year's Eve. We'll have links up and everything. Guys, thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for being on WGN today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Quick break. We'll come back. We'll send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. This is Jamie Little with NASCAR and Fox, and you're On the Road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane Lodge here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and on the line with us, honored to have veteran motorsports reporter, but also has covered winter and summer X Games, paintball championship, supercross, as well as being one of the leading voices for legendary races like the Indianapolis 500 and Daytona 500, and of course, part of the great team over there at Fox covering NASCAR Monster Energy Cup, one and only Jamie Little. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
So, okay, Winter X Game, you look at this. Okay, you went to college in San Diego, lived for a long time in Las Vegas. You know, San Diego's got some of the best weather, historically awesome weather. I mean, it's some of the best weather in the world. And then Vegas is, you know, got great weather, not cold weather. You threw it all away to enjoy what has been a white Christmas, so we did get that. But now you're experiencing, you know, an Arctic polar blast this weekend, so how's it going?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, packed up the family, and we moved east. We're living in Indianapolis, just outside Indianapolis now. And, yes, what a change of pace for us. We moved here just in time for the temperatures to dip and had our first big snowstorm. So, like you said, we had a white Christmas. And as I sit here talking to you, I'm watching it start to snow now. So it's totally different, but it is so exciting, and it's just amazing to watch, you know, this kind of weather and the snow through a child's eyes.
It is, and are the children impervious to cold? You know, our kids kind of don't seem to notice it. They run out without, you know, having socks on sometimes with just a sweatshirt and no jacket or any kind of things. But maybe, like, were you, when you first got there at first, maybe on, you know, Christmas, it looked nice, it was great, and then maybe you're looking at yourself, other people in the room, and saying, what have we done?
You're right. Honestly, I haven't hit that point yet, but looking at the forecast, the high is going to be -1 on Monday, And, you know, I was born in South Lake Tahoe, California, so I grew up with snow and with cold, but it just doesn't get that cold there. So this is going to be something totally different and unique for me. But going back to the kids, like you said, yes, yesterday my 14-month-old daughter decided to open up the sliding glass door and just walk out in the snow barefoot without a jacket, and it didn't even bother her. And my son does the same thing. He runs out, leaves the door open, because that's what we did in Las Vegas. And he starts just throwing snowballs and eating it and, you know, without a care in the world.
Well, it's going to be great. When you think about this, and covering sports and motorsports specifically and some of those top events for so many years, to be there right in the heart of it. I mean, when it comes to, we've got Daytona, and it certainly is as well. But when it comes to racing, that I don't think there's any community city that's more identified specifically with motorsports than Indianapolis. And so has that been something that you've been thinking about? Certainly for the career, a lot of stuff is happening there. But was it kind of good to get right in the middle of all of it?
Definitely. You know, we have more friends here in Indianapolis than we did in Las Vegas, and that's just because it's a racing community. I covered 11 Indy 500s, so that means I spent 2 to 3 weeks here in the month of May, so I met a lot of people, have some great relationships here. And then my husband actually grew up in Zionsville, just outside of Indianapolis. He grew up working on an IndyCar team. His brother still works for an IndyCar team. His dad works for an IndyCar team, and they all live here. So we're definitely immersed in the racing world here, but it is one of the best racetracks in the world, and I think the best race in the world. So it's pretty neat that we live here. And during the month of May now, even though I'm not covering any of it, sad to say, I'll still get to go out to the track and watch practice, watch qualifying before I go down to Charlotte to cover the 600.
You know, it is one of those rare events, Indianapolis 500, that brings people in regardless of whether they're even huge motorsports fans, like the Kentucky Derby. It's one of those iconic events that's a bucket list for so many people. Well, I think more people than ever before are going to have the Daytona 500, the start of the season for Monster Energy Cup, the start of the season broadcasting for Fox on their calendars as well this year, because, you know, I got to tell you, with the changing in just the way that they did it with the point system and the stage racing and all those kind of things, I don't know if they could have planned for it, but it turned out to be, at least in recent memory for me, and maybe I was a little more invested than some, but we got a lot of feedback from listeners, one of the most exciting seasons, the way that it ended, the way that it all kind of planned out. You can't always know how things are going to go, but what an exciting finish to the season. And I think, I mean, there has never been more anticipation for a Daytona 500 than maybe for 2018.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right, and that's for many reasons. And I love the changes that NASCAR has implemented over the last year. I just want to leave it alone now for a little bit and see where it goes, because I, you know, this playoff format has been great since the beginning, but with the tweaks now, the elimination, I mean, these guys are racing and driving for everything, but the stage racing makes every race that much more important throughout the year, and we really saw that. Guys pushing the limits, going for broke, things that maybe they wouldn't do before because they knew that they were in contention for those extra bonus points that get to go to the off season with them, or the playoff season. So I think that, yes, the racing was better this year. We saw a bunch of new faces, younger faces, rise to the occasion, end up in the playoffs. We also saw them in victory lane, drivers getting their first wins. And, you know, Daytona this year is going to look different. We're not going to have Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the field. We're going to see Danica Patrick for her final NASCAR race. And I just mentioned those younger drivers. It is wide open. I could not tell you one driver that I would say this is going to be the favorite to win the Daytona 500. We have so many talented drivers, and now they're in great seats, including at Hendrick Motorsports. You have Alex Bowman taking over the 88 for Dale Jr. That's a big question mark. He's going to be great. Dale Jr. is going to be on the headset with him the whole month, talking him through it and coaching him, of course. So, and then we have William Byron that's going to take over the 24 car, the iconic 24. So that kid is so talented, and there's just so much anticipation, like you said, for Daytona.
It is. It's going to be really great, because the new format, what it does, and you hit on it, Jamie, too, is it kind of gives the opportunity for some of these younger drivers to shine. You know, it has that format where there can be little victories, and there's a lot more to think about, certainly for the teams, and a lot more to watch and anticipate for the fans as well. But here's the other part, too, and we talked to a number of drivers early on in the season. They weren't necessarily skeptical about it, but it was new, different, something to adapt to, weren't sure how it was going to turn out. But at the end, I think everybody, including the drivers and the teams, they saw that drivers who had performed all year and some of the best, you know, historically that are performing in the sport right now ended up in that, you know, final moment for that chance to win the championship. So it worked out. You know, the best drivers raced well. Sometimes when you change the format, you never know what's going to happen. Something goofy could come up and you say, this isn't working. This isn't what should be happening. happening. But it came out perfectly. I think that everybody agreed that exciting at the end with some of those really iconic drivers challenging for it. And you mentioned, too, those opportunities for those young stars to shine.
Yeah, and I think at the end, too, and you could say it across all three NASCAR series, trucks, Xfinity, and the Monster Energy Cup, the best car and the best truck won the championship. Martin Truex Jr. was hands down the best car all year long. So I think that a lot of people, even if they're disappointed that their driver didn't win the championship, they're happy to see Martin Truex Jr. because he was the best car and because of the story behind him. He's such a humble guy. He's a first-time champion. He's definitely had his ups and downs that we've all documented throughout the years with his longtime girlfriend, Sherry, battling cancer now for the second time. To see the joy on both of their faces and live through that in Champions Week, I think a lot of people are just really excited about that storyline that panned out, and they can't wait to see what happens with that Furniture Row team based in Denver,
yep.
Nonetheless. They're definitely an underdog team, and here they are, the favorite going into the Daytona 500.
Oh, it was a Hollywood script. You couldn't have written it anybody. But you mentioned this, too, and this is one of the things I think people are going to watch. You look at those iconic cars taking over for Dale Jr. in the 88, the 24. You look at the 43 over at Richard Petty Motorsports with Bubba Wallace in there, and then you've got Danica Patrick. And I wanted to get your thoughts. It kind of uniquely positioned with a perspective, having covered so many of the Indianapolis 500. And then, of course, you know, in NASCAR and covering Danica, you know, in the Cup Series, because it isn't as though there are a lot of people kind of stepping up. And she made her mark in both of those sports and I think competed at a very high level in the IndyCar thing, competed at a very, very high level. Is there anybody out there that, you know, with your hand on the pulse of so much of it, that can kind of, you know, step up, you know, on, you know, for women in racing and kind of, I mean, those are big shoes to fill, but do you see anything on the horizon?
You know, there's quite a few women that come across our path that we meet at events and whatnot, and there are some talented women and girls coming up. The problem is just getting that opportunity. You know, Bobby Rahal years and years ago took a chance with Danica. Here's this young girl. She's fast. She's definitely proven in go-karts and the Formula Series that she did in Europe. But he took a chance and said, I'm going to put this girl in my IndyCar. No other owner has done that. In my eyes, has given a car that good to a woman to see what she can do. And if he hadn't have done that, there wouldn't be a Danica Patrick as we know her today. Now, I don't see another owner taking that chance or a sponsor to step up with that kind of money to say, let's put this girl in the car. These owners, these corporations, they want to see these guys in there or girls who are proven, who've already won getting to this point. So right now, I don't see another woman coming into this level. There's definitely Haley Deegan, Brian Deegan, legendary X Games athlete. He's an off-road truck racer now, an off-road truck champion. She's looking to be super fast. She could be the real deal. She's part of the NASCAR Next program. Natalie Decker's another one. I know she's good friends with Danica and Danica's family. But do we know which one really has it? No, and we won't know that until we really see them in four wheels and, you know, like the ARCA series or the NASCAR K&N series. But I think that we need that. I think there's a legion of fans out there that are looking to follow a woman like Danica, especially the young girls. They really look to, you know, see what Danica's doing on Sunday during the race, because her dad and her mom have their favorite drivers, but she wants to know about the girl driver. I think it's really important for us to have that. It's one of the only sports where a woman can compete on level ground with a man. Okay. And, you know, the next best thing that we have this year, it's not next best, but it's a great story and something that a lot of people will follow. You mentioned him, Bubba Wallace.
Yes.
It's great for the sport. He's talented. We saw what he did this year filling in for Eric Almirola, and I can't wait to see what he can do this year.
Oh, it's going to be great. I mean, I am so excited. I know so many fans are so excited too, because it's great for him to have those opportunities, but also to have that opportunity in just, you know, one of the most iconic cars in all of racing, you know, with that number, with that team, to get out there. You know, he's going to have the best opportunity. He's going to make the most of it, because if you know him, as I'm sure you do, over the last couple of years, we've got a chance to know him through some of the stuff he's done with Nickelodeon. He's just a really quality human being, just a great, very talented driver, but also a guy who is so devoted and dedicated to what he's doing and just excited for the opportunities and that potential success. It's going to be a great story.
Yes, and he has a great personality, too. Off the track, he is a character. If you follow him on Twitter or Instagram, he's hilarious. So I love him. I love the fact that they picked him up. Richard Petty is giving him an opportunity. I think they did it without even knowing for sure that they had sponsorship,
yeah,
which is great. So that's definitely going to be a great story to follow. We need more diversity for sure in racing and in all aspects in American racing.
And some of these drivers kind of leave the track, or at least their presence on the track. They're going to still be a part of the scenario and get in on the broadcasting side and share some of that stuff as well. So Danica, you know, we'll have her insights in there. I think that'll be a really interesting and fresh perspective to share some of those things in the, you know, however they work her in, or you guys work her in, or however she gets involved in whatever capacity to comment on the sport. I think that'll be interesting. Racing, though, she's got, this is a very young person. Even though she's retiring from the world of racing, it doesn't define her. She's out there. She's got a new book on. I know we'll talk with her next week about that on the exercise side.
Yeah, she has a lot going on. I think that girl's going to be busier now out of the race car than she was behind the wheel. But she's so talented, and she has so many things going on. She's interested and dynamic in so many more ways than just being an awesome race car driver and just a great advocate for women. I don't think that she's going to get into broadcasting, but if she'll come in the booth with us, it's great. I talked to her this week, and hopefully we'll get some exclusive coverage on Fox of her final Indy 500. We definitely need to work on that, but she's excited about the opportunity, and what an iconic race, what a perfect race for her to close the door on that chapter of racing.
Yeah, racing doesn't necessarily define her. There's so many things out there, and just even though, you know, and let the listeners know, we're talking with Jamie Little, one of the top voices for Fox in the Monster Energy Cup for a NASCAR, but even racing doesn't necessarily define you. You have a lot of different things and ways that you're in the community and helping out. One of the things near and dear to us, and we support a lot of different charities related to animals, and you have a lot of that as well, kind of building that into what you do. And it's great to see, you know, using that platform, you know, you've got an audience, you've got people that listen to what you say, and kind of, you know, helping some cause and affecting some change.
Yeah, I am definitely a big advocate for animals. And in Las Vegas, we had one of the largest shelters in the country. It's called the Animal Foundation. And I mean, at any given time, there's hundreds of animals. So I would love to go in there, and I donated my time and just walked the dogs and decided I wanted to do something bigger. So I created a calendar and reached out, went for it, and asked all the celebrities that I come up with who lived in Las Vegas, like Carrot Top and Wayne Newton, and they all happily agreed to pose with dogs straight out of the shelter. And I loved that. So I look to do that more here in Indianapolis. I'm just looking to find the right opportunity to align myself with, because I definitely jump all in to help the animals and to help children, of course.
Yep. And keep making a brighter 2018 for a lot of people, certainly race fans who get to enjoy what it is you do. Animals out there, I'm sure the Indianapolis community is going to get a little bit of that as well. Denny Hartwick, if you'll remember him from your Supercross
days, is
a friend over there, communications guy at Chicagoland. He said to say hello and talked about what a, you know, how great you've done with every opportunity and how excited he is to see what's going on for 2018 with you as well.
Oh, Denny Hartwick and I go way back. I think we started in Supercross about the same time back in 2000. So that was where I started my career. I'm so happy to see Denny there and in the NASCAR world. And he's doing a great job. I know it gets tiring being on the road for so many years, but tell Denny I said hi, and I'm getting ready. Actually, we're gearing up for Supercross. First round of Supercross kicks off in Anaheim next weekend. So I will be there, and I'll be hosting. So I'm excited about that. It's always nice to have a gig like that during your off season. Make sure you still have it, you know?
Yeah, yes, right. Oh, and it's nonstop excitement as well. So before we let you go, people want to know social media. How can they keep up with Jamie Little, see you, and all the different things that you're doing across the sports broadcasting landscape?
Yes, I prefer Twitter. That's kind of my world. I share a little insight into what I'm up to, and definitely talk racing a lot. So you can follow me at Jamie Little TV on Twitter, and that connects to Facebook too. But I don't do Facebook. That's just too much social media for me. I stick to the short words and quick synopsis of the storylines, and so Twitter's perfect for that.
Well, happy New Year, Jamie. Thanks for everything that you do for the sport, and obviously jumping on the radio with us today here at WGN.
Absolutely.
WGN on the road with Dane live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, a cold, frigid Michigan Avenue. It's cold out there. What are you going to do? I think it's going to be actually below zero. I think it might even be below zero. I think it was about 8 degrees. I'm not time scaling. I talked with him earlier in the week. He called me Dave like five times.
But I heard that interview.
I was still excited to talk to him. He's like, but you know, he weaves it in. He's like, and Dave, this is a cold front moving. And I'm like, that's just awesome. So it started out maybe about 8 degrees this morning. It's going to get colder and colder. So do whatever you can and kind of get indoors and weather that storm. And think about other times. Think about warmer times where maybe you're at a cruise night or a car show. in one of our great suburbs, or just driving down the streets of Chicago in either your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. And you can share what car that is here, 312-981-7200. You can text it in. You can call. You can give it to Camille. You can send in pictures. That always helps. And before the end of the program, Camille will announce who that winner is, and they're going to win a $25 gift card to Bona Beef for being the bona fide ride of the show. So many great ones. Last week got a big Ted in Wheaton, a big shout out, kudos to him. Hats off to Ted, and tops off, right? Because it was a an MG convertible that he had. Great story though too, right? How the not only the love of the automobile and a conversation, it was the automobile himself or the, itself that captured the heart of his then soon to be wife. And then of course years later she knew that really that's what he loved the most, I mean in addition to her, and she bought him another one, right? So it all came together for the MG. But we've had a lot of great cars over the time of the show, everything from kind of pedestrian kind of practical cars to just kind of regular everyday cars to some really amazing sports cars and some classics as well. Because every time that you do that, you give either your first car, your favorite car, or a dream car, they all get thrown into the pot, and then we randomly pick that one out, so nobody has an advantage. But it's always cool to see the pictures, so if you can do those and send them, we will definitely share those on the air as well. And so we were talking a little bit about some of the things coming up a little bit after the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to have Sheetal Bhagat. She is the inspirational kind of founder of Spice Note Tequila. And we're talking about the journey. When you have an idea and you think this would be great, and then it goes all the way from point A to point Z to the fact that it's on shelves and being enjoyed in bars and certainly homes around America. Have you ever thought about that, Camille? You ever come up with something? Maybe you have like anything you do. Maybe you make a mean brownie or maybe a certain dish, maybe a tuna casserole that you're famous for.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I make really good chicken parmesan with vodka sauce.
Wow.
That's my go-to.
There you go. So yeah. Someday in boxes and in freezer sections all across America. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll throw it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 7 EGN. On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And one of the things that we do on the show, certainly talk about some transformative travel, places people go, road trips, things people do, certainly on the food side, tailgating, highlighting some of the top personalities of the food world. But also, and one of the things that I really love is that journey of inspiration, the journey of creation, when you can come out from an idea into something that is not only delicious, but and new and different, right? Never been seen before. I think you're way ahead of the game. In studio, we have a musician. We have a culinary enthusiast is a way that she described herself, but to a very high level, being one of the semifinalists for one of our favorite shows over there on Fox, MasterChef, and also the brand owner and inspirational driving force for what is Spice Note Tequilas. It is the one and only Sheetal Bhagat. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane.
Well, it's exciting to be here. And when you say here, like the reason that you're here is to share something that's got to be near and dear. It's almost, we talked a little bit off the air. You've got a child, 11 months old, all that kind of stuff. Spice Note Tequila has got to be like really, I don't know if it's your first child, but it's certainly one of them, right?
I gave birth twice this year, for sure. So I gave birth in January to my son, and then in July we launched Spice Note Tequila. You know, I grew up with spices, so this is an endeavor that is near and dear to my heart from my childhood.
Let's talk about the inspiration, and I love it when people think of something that maybe isn't out there, and I think somewhere, I think maybe you had said it's 7 years in the making as far as the idea, this is something that should be out there, but your efforts and this realization of that, sometimes people come up with something that just the world isn't ready for yet, right? Maybe years down the road, people can appreciate. So I don't know, was there a thought process there that you were going to time it perfectly 7 years ago that the world would be really excited about tequila, elevated brands of tequila, different and interesting ways to enjoy it. Or is this just, kind of a coincidence?
I will tell you that this started out as a project for me. I was going through a rough patch in my fertility journey. And so going through this rough patch, I needed a project. I needed a food-based project that would keep my mind occupied. And I've always loved how spices are incorporated in my food. And I thought, well, why can't we make a cocktail with spices? Like, that's not been done before, or at least not to the level of having an infused spirit with spice. And so that's really where it started. It was a project. I wasn't thinking of you know, I wasn't thinking of the market and the hole in the market and the consumer and price point or anything. I was just like,
really?
Hey, no, you know, and it started as a passion project. It started as a, I am in survival mode, and I need something to take my mind off of the hard stuff of life. And that's where it started.
When you think about the infusion in the spirits, and there's been some of that vodka, you know, had a whole bunch of it to mixed reviews, right? Some of those efforts much maligned. On the tequila side, it is like the perfect time. And so I guess maybe a lot of people on the, you know, supply and demand end of the universe were kind of conspiring with you subliminally to go ahead and do this. So let's talk a little bit about the spices. You've got a musical background. You've got a culinary background, obviously. And so I think food and the way flavors kind of work together was first and foremost, but I was interested too on the musical background, where you've got maybe even more so than the food side, where you have a number of multiple different either instruments or voices or sounds, you know, coming together to create one thing, which is that composition. Was that the thought process, or is that just a really nice footnote?
No, it's who I am as a person is this blend and mix of different cultures, right? So I grew up in this Eastern, culturally Eastern home, and living in the Western world, so trying to sort of blend foods and what we wear, you know, how we celebrate different cultures, how we celebrate our holidays, and what we eat, how we dress. And so it's my life has always been a blend, has always been a mix of those two things. And so food is no exception. Music is no exception. That's just who I am as a person.
When you think about this and starting it in the brand and women in this space, I think it even probably adds another level of difficulty. You mentioned you weren't thinking about the markets, you know, supply, demand, profits, how to build it. So talk about that, because I love those stories, because it is one of those things that's difficult. I'm sure in our vast listening audience, you got a lot of people who have some ideas that hit them. Oh, this would be great, you know, or people come and tell them, oh my, you should take those cookies on the road and sell them. It is a difficult thing, and oftentimes it has almost nothing to do with all of the things you mentioned, the word passion, that maybe started it, right? These are just things that are difficult, sometimes insurmountable. So talk about the ideas. It's a fascinating idea. I think it's great, well received, and obviously it has been. But then that, you know, taking that and I guess inspiring others to get along with you and help you make it a reality.
So in 2010, when I was on MasterChef, I kind of became known off camera as the Spice Girl, because everything that I made had some element of spice. And so I came back from the show thinking, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to do something with that? All the while, have had a love for tequila. And it kind of just dawned on me one day, hey, what if I put cumin in my margarita? What would that taste like? I think a lot of this started with what ifs. And I think a lot of dreams start with what if I did this, or what if I tried that? And it's got to start somewhere. And for me, that's where it started. What if I put cumin in my margarita? So I did. And I think I've never looked back. I've never had a regular margarita at home, because this is my favorite thing. So it started there. And actually, in 2012, I went to Kerala, India, where there's a lot of spices are grown in Kerala, a lot of tea and spices. And so, again, it was just a reinforcement of, this is so fascinating to me, how spice is grown and how it's used, but I have to find another application, because, you know, launching another spice company, bottling some spice, been there, done that, like, it's, don't need to do that, you know? What can I do that's different? And what can I do that is, I guess, is in the spirits industry, but I wasn't thinking of the industry. I was just thinking of my own personal cocktail.
Right.
It's where it started.
Well, it's neat to have it be that kind of, you know, you were inspired, number one, you had to inspire yourself, but then you have to get on the road and inspire other people.
Right. So what I did was I started tasting it out to tons and tons of people, friends, parties. I would take it places. Everyone, the response was so overwhelmingly positive that I thought, okay, well, let me find a consultant to work with. So I found a great consultant in Ohio to work with. And she really encouraged me to keep moving. She helped me formulate my business plan. I have no business background, so I have, you know, I know nothing about business. I'll be the first to admit that. So I found people to join the team where I felt my weaknesses were. I hired a fantastic graphic designer who incorporated my story of Eastern and Western. You know, the bottle has this anchoring of henna pattern, which is symbolic of my Eastern tradition, but the font is very clean. It's very Western, if you will. So there's the blend of that. And just found the right team and just kept going. I don't know what else to say, what drove me, you know.
There's a lot of those situations where people, you know, once they get to a certain point and they're able to kind of, it's like climbing a ladder, right? And you look down and realize, whoa, you know, we're really high up. And of course, driven by a lot of that passion. And I'm sure there were some amazing and inspirational things, maybe some people along the way that kept you going. There may have been some of those moments where you're like, ah, this is a silly idea. Not silly, but maybe not, you know, didn't have the legs to get to, you know, all the way from point A to point Z.
I've heard it all. I've heard the tequila space is not ready for this. It's never been done. Cumin is not going to be well received. I've heard the opposite of those things too. So again, none of that was really driving me. It was just sort of like, I just want to see what's going to happen.
So you get the team together and then you come out and you've got great people that get it to the point where it is in the bottle. It's as you imagined it, right? You know, and so talk a little bit about the product there. As we talked about initially, there are infused spirits out there, but this one, very thoughtful, you know, and the all natural and everything that goes into making Spice Note.
Right. So we have 8 infusions. The 6 that are not launched are secret. So we're hoping.
Wow, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, we're hoping to launch with a third in 2018. But we decided to launch with cumin and cinnamon. And the reason for that is because cumin is where it started for me. Like I said, opened up my spice drawer, put, you know, cumin in my margarita, loved it, never looked back. So that was an obvious choice. And it's really different. It's really unique. I wanted to offer something that was a first to market offering that no other spirits brand could say they have. And cinnamon. Okay, so why would I launch with cinnamon? There's a lot of cinnamon flavored products.
But you did this, you thought this up years before those even existed.
I don't know. Fireball has been around for a long time. Okay. Yeah, a long time. It's not about, you know, making comparisons to other brands or anything. I chose 2 infusions that would appeal to 2 very different demographics. And I wanted to sort of get the range in between as well, you know. So the cumin is probably for somebody that's looking for something really unique, really different, slightly more adventurous palate. And the cinnamon is just a comforting, warm, cozy, familiar spice. And so if you're not ready for the cumin, you got the cinnamon, you know. So.
Well, here's the thing. In tequila, you know, you had mentioned you were a tequila fan. That's the reason that you chose that as far as kind of the canvas, you know, for this. And I got to tell you, they're very smooth. And so all of the things that, and for the listeners out there, the things that they may not like or appreciate about tequila, not everybody is a fan. I think you work through a lot of that just through that process. So it is very smooth and very different. So it doesn't taste like just a tequila with some kind of flavor, you know, kind of plopped into it. Now, I know some of the recipes that you have too, these would be fine just as sipping tequila too. You can enjoy them that way. Mm-hmm. But you have some fun ways to kind of build in some other flavors to make it even better.
Yeah. So, you know, the range that this line has, you know, you can certainly sip it. You can do shots if it's that kind of night. but you can make a single ingredient cocktail, like a single ingredient mixer, like a apple cider or with the cinnamon is wonderful, ginger beer with the cumin, soda with cumin, you know, so you can do something as simple as that. And tequila typically hasn't been thought of that way. You know, the perception on tequila has been this: I can do shots or I can have a margarita. It seems like there's nothing in between, right? It's changing. And I'm excited to be part of that, that offering to consumers. I love that you can, yes, you can mix this with apple cider and have a wonderful kind of warm or cold drink with just one thing. You can also have a 2 or 3 ingredient cocktail. The cumin makes a great Bloody Maria. You'd never think of that.
Wow.
But the way I approach my cocktail making with these 2 infusions is the way I approach my food. So when you think of cumin and you think of what food pairings work with cumin, cucumber, ginger, tomato, lime. So a Bloody Maria, you know, tomato-based, a margarita, lime-based, anything with lemon. A lemonade with cumin is wonderful.
Yep,
so,
yep, yep.
And then, you know, you think of cinnamon, like what pairs with cinnamon? Apples, pumpkin, pear, ginger, all of these things. So when I make cocktails, when I'm doing, you know, testing in the kitchen, that's how I test, is how would I put this in a dish? And let's take those flavors out of a dish and put it in a cocktail glass.
See, there's so many different options with it, so many different things that you can have. And yes, I think the category is, tequila is one of those very unique spirits where everybody has, I think, either a relationship, a definition, a perception of what it is. And now in this day and age specifically, it is being redefined as maybe all of those things, but also so many different things. And you look at sort of the mezcal trends, and of course, you know, purists there would say it's totally different, but still kind of in that family. And so I think this is the perfect time. But here's kind of what you're tasked with. So you've got some of these elevated tequilas that are better, maybe more and better marketed for sure. Mm-hmm. But you have this. I think it's an opportunity to have something that people either know, love, or want to give a chance to. But you have sort of an educational component that's kind of on you. Right? To say, like, this is, yes, it is tequila. Mm-hmm. If you like that, it's wonderful. But if you don't necessarily, you should give it a try, because it is something all its own as well.
Yeah, don't limit to this tequila to shots or a margarita. I mean, spice note functions well in both shots and the margarita, but there's so much in between and beyond. You know, margarita is a pretty simple cocktail, lime, orange, tequila, you know, simple syrup. But we have some recipes on our website that are beyond just a three-ingredient cocktail. We make a great Manhattan, a Latin Manhattan with the cumin-infused tequila. Yeah, we have a new cocktail coming out this spring that Aaron Pollock, bar manager at the Dawson, created with a spiced gin and barbecue bitters and chai simple syrup and spice note cumin. It is delicious. It rivals the margarita for me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's high praise.
That is high praise.
For me, it rivals the margarita.
And some heavy responsibilities on there as well. Letting the listeners know we're talking with Spice Note Tequila, visionary founder, pushing the envelope in a bunch of different ways and some wonderful ways. Sheetal Bhagat is in studio. You mentioned the website. That's a way that people can get some of these recipes and find ways that they can enjoy it. Probably also ways that they can actually get it. You mentioned, I know that it's in some of the bars around Chicagoland, some of the maybe stores as well. Where can people get their hands on some?
So most of the Binnie's, all the Binnie's downtown in Chicago have them. A lot of the suburb Binnie's have them. And there's a few Whole Foods that have started picking it up now.
Nice.
So if you go to our website and go to the Where to Find, you'll see Gene's Sausage up on in Lincoln Square has it too.
So in the Chicagoland areas where you're launching, you got those two initial spirits. You've got the cinnamon, mm-hmm. you've got the cumin, you've got the six secret ones, which are going to be unveiled, at least one, right, in 2018. So we're looking forward to that as well. So one more time with the website where people can get all that information on you, maybe social media to keep up with your adventures as well.
So all of our social media handles, Spice Note Tequila. And our website, spicenotetequila.com.
Simple, easy, Spice Note Tequila. Sheetal, thanks so much for doing what you're doing. Thanks for being so brave, right, to go ahead and create. Come on.
We're crazy.
Well, no, yes, right. Maybe a little crazy.
Maybe
that's
a little bit.
That's what you need, because without that, we don't have cool things out there in the world, including Spice Note. Thanks for being on WGN today. Where I find, I know it's hard sometimes. 720, WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. A steadily, I don't know, it's growing colder. I think it's going to be getting cold and cold until it's well below zero overnight tonight. So get inside and bundle up. Keep the radio tuned to 720. And we will be able to share some of the things that you have shared with us as well from the 224. Now, here's the thing. 312-981-7200. You can send in. You can text in. You can call Camille, you can share it with her. Your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. It could be a car that you like, that you know, that you've had, that you'd love to have. Any kind of thing in there, everything is possible. You'll be entered to win and become the bona fide ride of the show, presented by Bone to Beef, and we'll pick one out at the end of the show. Camille will announce it. And you'll win the $25 gift card from Bona Beef. And so that's all you got to do. If you don't have to send pictures in, it's all random. But if you do, it's fun because we get a chance to kind of share them with the listeners and talk about them as well. From the 224, we had a Battle Bug, Camille, which is a 74 Super Beetle. And it looks like it's ready for the front, basically. So army green with a big white star on the side, you know, some some military insignia. Looks like it's got a luggage rack, which you didn't always see on the very curved Volkswagen Beetle. So you can enjoy that as well. And then you had somebody actually call and talk to you as well.
Yeah, we had a listener call with a Hyundai Santa Fe Sport. That was their dream car. And then
what? Hyundai Santa Fe Sport? You know, sometimes
new family for a good car for new family.
Excellent gas mileage on the Hyundai.
Oh,
you know, we have one of those too. So not a Santa Fe Sport. So that sounds really cool. Yeah. But
and I got one more too. Another listener, a 1969 Plymouth Barracuda.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
The CUDA. All right, 312-981-7200. Send yours in. If you have a picture, we'll definitely talk about it and get in there and be the bona fide ride of the show. From the 773, a lot of great texts. One of them had a question, an actual question. This doesn't happen all the time. NASCAR drivers asking a little bit about their lifestyles as opposed to the lifestyles of NHL players from the 773. And, well, it's a different dynamic because, you know, even though they say, hey, this is our team, you know, you're on the 88 team or the 24 team, there's really one player, right, which is the driver, and everybody kind of supports that. And then you got to look at this too, is, you know, they go from distance to distance, so there's never a home stand, you know, so to speak. There's a little periods of time where maybe there's 2 weeks in a row where you're in the Charlotte area sometime, maybe in May for the 600, or you've got some other things that are going on in certain areas. There's times when maybe the tracks aren't too far apart, but there's never that whole, like, hey, we've got five races at the same track or four races like you would with other sports, specifically hockey. And then you've just got the length of the season. You know, even though hockey, especially if you're a Blackhawks fan, you hope that season is very long. It can be if you're going towards the Stanley Cup run. But for racing, they all have that same season. Starts in February, ends in November. So it's only a couple months off. So one of the longest seasons in professional sports, and a lot of travel. But they love it. You know, even on their off days, they're out there racing as well. So coming up after the news, we are going to be able to talk with Eileen Ogan. She is a travel guru, you know her from takingthekids.com, and she's going to talk about cruising. Camille, you ever been on a cruise before?
When I was four.
That's
Disney
it?
Cruise.
Oh, yeah. You went on a Disney cruise?
Yeah.
What was that like? Do you
My
remember?
Whole
I mean, four
family,
years old is probably just getting into the whole memory
yeah.
bank.
My whole family got sick, so we never went on another cruise.
What? Now, yeah. We're up in the trust tree here. Nobody's listening except us. Now, was it because of anything that Mickey or any of the Donald Duck, any of the characters did, or was it?
No, it was just we all got
food?
Seasick.
Oh, seasick.
Mm-hmm.
I'd not even considered that.
Yeah.
You figure the boat's big enough, that doesn't happen.
I don't know. Maybe it was just because my sister and I were too young. My brother wasn't around yet, so we haven't taken him on a cruise.
Wow, that sounds
but,
like...
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like something that, you don't want to have happen. So you're going to block that out. That won't even be a topic of discussion. All right, now. Okay, so here it is. It is a little bit before 3:30, and it is news time. 20 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and on the line with us, honored to have, you know, an honorary Chicagoan. Of course, she's one of our very own, as well as the world. So she travels all around the world searching out great experiences, travel experiences, great deals, seeing the world, but taking the kids with the one and only Eileen Ogans from takingthekids.com. Acclaimed. You've seen her on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and of course here on WGN. Eileen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, now here's the thing. This is kind of a mysterious world. For those tried and true sailors out there, they've got it on lockdown. They know exactly what to do. But for those that are uninitiated, but thinking to themselves, they may have heard some of the reports out there that there's some like new and exciting cruises specifically tailored towards kind of families, maybe budget friendly, or maybe some special offers. There's a lot of things to do coming up.
Definitely. We actually have a really comprehensive family cruise section. And one of the things I would suggest to families is cruising is one time when you want to work with a travel agent, because there are so many different kinds of cruises, so many different kinds of ships and cabins. You want to get somebody who's a cruise expert. So if you go to cruising.org, you can put in your zip code and you'll find somebody. So pretty much we're seeing everything from mega ships to river cruises, which we used to think of as the purview, you know, of seniors, is now becoming way more interested in the family market. One company, Uniworld, has special family departures with kids' activities and kids' pricing. Another one, AMA Waterways, has a partnership with Disney, you know, where Disney charters the ship a few times a year to do Adventures by Disney trips. And they also do family trips with the company Backroads for those that are interested in outdoor adventures. So, you know, where it might be hiking or biking. I did a trip like that with my daughter and son-in-law this summer, which was really a lot of fun.
Well, and Eileen, let the listeners know a little bit about how they tailor the cruising experience to kind of fit more in with the kids. Because we can all remember, I know my wife remembers she went down a couple cruises when she was in her 20s, and that we kind of geared toward, and I'm sure ships geared towards whatever the basic demographic they're aiming towards is. But it was more of kind of a lay at the pool, maybe drink, some cocktails and beers, maybe get off and go hang out in the town. I mean, do they do different things maybe activity-wise with kids?
Oh, totally. For example, Carnival carries almost a million kids a year, and every major cruise line, like Carnival or Royal Caribbean or Norwegian, they all have amazing kids activity areas that are staffed by the most enthusiastic and energetic counselors I've ever seen, and they have different activities and different spaces for different age kids. So they might have one area for preschoolers with those kind of activities, and then they have another club for grade schoolers, and then they have something else for middle schoolers and something else for high school kids. So that would be something else for people to think about or questions to ask depending on your age kids is, to look at what activities are offered, what are the facilities. And one thing that's really nice on cruises for families is, unlike a lot of hotels, all of the activities are complimentary.
Nice.
So you don't have to worry that you're going to pay a lot of money and the kids aren't going to like it. And that's also true for food, although on some ships these days, you need to be careful because they've added a lot of specialty dining, and it could be something like burgers at Johnny Rockets, or a coffee place, but you're going to pay extra. But in general, the food is all included. So if you've got a 10-year-old who's kind of an adventurous eater, this is the time to let him experiment, because he can order something, and if he doesn't like it, he can send it back. On the other hand, if he wants 3 steaks, he can have them. So without you thinking about what the bill's going to be like. And then the other thing to think about is, on most cruises, the shore excursions are extra, and I usually suggest for families, especially when you're going, let's say, to the Caribbean or Mexico, to really think about whether you want to do a shore excursion, or you could just get off and take a taxi to a beach or something and rent snorkeling gear, because you're going to be stuck in a group of 50 people, if you do a shore excursion, and you're going to pay more for it. You just have to be mindful to get back to the boat on time, obviously. So that's something to consider. If you're doing a river cruise, those excursions tend to be all inclusive.
So the river cruises is more of the all inclusive as far as some of the excursions. I wanted to ask, and I know that there are
a couple of very upscale lines where they're all inclusive, but that would be another question to ask your travel agent.
So a couple of people have texted in, and they're asking, when it comes to kind of the, it's one thing to have the activities and the people on the ship and everything kind of geared towards the kids, that's great. But are there, as you're kind of sailing around, if it's that family's, first time doing a cruise, are there locations that you would suggest, would like a Hawaiian cruise or a Caribbean cruise, or is there one that you say would be kind of either better or more tailored to new cruisers?
There's a lot of cruises that are only like 4 days or 5 days, some even 3 days out of Florida. I think 4 days would be good, so it would kind of give you a taste. The Caribbean is pretty easy because, as I said, it's not like you're going to be overwhelmed with having to choose all of these expensive shore excursions every day, because you're basically going to hang out and relax. And also keep in mind that besides activities for the kids on board, there's lots of activities for the whole family and also for the adults. So they might have, even Disney, on their ships, they have a a whole deck just for adults, you know. So if the kids are otherwise in activities, you can go somewhere where you're not going to be surrounded by other kids. But if you want to spend time with your kids, you know, let's say on Carnival, there'll be a big water park, you know, or they'll have family activities, you know, it might be like family karaoke, you know, or family games or something like that. So you'll find plenty to do. And they send you, they give you a, like a little kind of a newspaper thing every day that'll tell you what all the activities are on board that day, you know, and also, obviously, if you get off the ship, you don't even necessarily, you might not want to be off the ship the entire day, because sometimes it's really nice to be on board when everybody's not there, you know?
Oh, nice.
So, consider that. I know some people who cruise, who, you know, they've cruised so much that they've, let's say, been to these places, but they like a particular ship, so they stay on board because then there are special deals at the spa, and then activities won't necessarily be as crowded, you know, to try out.
See, that's really great to think. I mean, it's great to think of that there is enough, that the cruise itself isn't just getting from one place to another. You're on a ship, and hopefully you're relatively comfortable. To think that the activities and everything going on can be, you know, just as fun, maybe even more fun in certain situations than some of the stuff on the island, but yet you still have, you know, the opportunity to go to shore, see some of the sights, but kind of do it on your own terms. It is also very cool to see that, you know, some cruise lines that you would think would be, you just think it's a cruise ship, maybe geared more towards adults, young adults, maybe even seniors, also has, you know, a lot of options for kids. They've really been thoughtful with that. And then also on the Disney side, that you think just gravitates towards kids, that they've thought of the parents as well. So before we let you go, give the website. I'm guessing it's takingthekids.com, but once you get there, how do you get to the part where you can kind of zone in on the cruising?
If you just go to our homepage, you'll see, or you go to, there's a link that for the cruise section, or you just like scroll down on the homepage and you'll see it at the bottom. That's a good place to go for that.
Just go take a search, get there. Of course, you're going to be inspired by all the other things going on as well. And then you get to the cruise section, search around, maybe put in some terms, basically maybe the location you want to go or the cruise line.
If you look just like on the right side of the homepage, there's a red dot that says Family Travel Guides for Every Season. And if you go there, you'll find that's pretty easy to find the cruise section.
Every single season, and the opportunity, of course, to take the kids with. TakingTheKids.com is the name of the website, and she has everything, every kind of experience that you'd want, from seasonal stuff to those guides, those specific guides to each city that she has highlighted so far on those kind of trips. Of course, there's, you know, things all over the world, and every kind of different experience on the travel side that you can do. And again, it is TakingTheKids.com. Eileen Ogans, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Sure, anytime, and happy travels.
That's great. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, a very cold Michigan Avenue, but hopefully everybody is staying warm out there and enjoying some of the things that we're doing as we talk about some of these different locations. And we just talked with Eileen Ogans, takingthekids.com. She's going to do that as well. And you could take your kids in your car. You know, maybe it's your first car. Maybe it's your dream car. You know, maybe it's your favorite car of all time. And we've got a couple more that people have done. And you still can, too, and get that very warm, typically served warm. Of course, there are some people that could enjoy their bone of beef chilled, or room temperature, tepid, if you will. Typically, it's warm, too, which is good, especially on a day like today. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can text it in. You can call in and talk to Camille. You can give her the information as well. You can send a picture. That's always fun. And then give us an opportunity to talk about it. We'll try to do what we can to share those with the listeners as well before the end of the program. And we had one sent in from the 815. My first car was a 1970 Ford XL. If you think your car is big and you're just not really sure how big it is, if it's XL, it's got actual clothes sizing right on it. The XL, it was a boat that died every time I went through a deep puddle. It also coughed and sputtered when I turned it off. That sounds nice. There's a picture of it, too. It is big. It is kind of a turquoise color, but it looks like, you know, kind of your thing, you know, like kind of normal, like 70s car. That was good. Just a little, you know, sharing bit. In my first car, I shared it with a bunch of people in 1974, Monte Carlo, and had an opportunity whenever you'd get. There were times. It wasn't always like this. That would be unbearable. There were times when it was running really rough, and so you'd have to get to the stoplight and really quick. Now, this has to be some kind of a hazard because I don't think it was as safe as possible because your mind is not necessarily on all of the traffic, but you'd have to really quick throw it into park so that you could idle it a little bit higher because it would die. Sometimes there were times, periods where it would just die at the stop. Like, Camille, I know that you're not a big driver, but have you been in a car that every time it would get to the stop that it would die, or is that just something people don't deal with anymore?
Really. My friend had a car that if you were idling for too long or if you were going under 30 miles per hour for too long, it would get too hot and he would have to turn on the heat and try to go over 30 to cool the engine down.
That's really crazy.
So,
see, that would be a malfunction or just a general dysfunction of the automobile that I think would be welcome on a day like today where you have to go ahead and turn the heat on in order to cool it off. But I've had cars like that where it would overheat. Scary. Where you have to turn it. So you have to sit there and sweat just in order to keep from overheating because it's very important. You want your car to overheat.
He got a new car, though, so we're all good.
So now we're all good. 312-981-7200. You can share your first car, favorite car, dream car, and be the bona fide ride of the show and get the $25 gift card from Bona Beef. When you think of taking the kids, you want to take them with on all of your different vacations. Cruise would be nice, but also it'd be nice to take them all with, plus some extra extended family members or lots of kids, depending if you're one of those. Remember that show, Eight is Enough? Have you ever seen that show? Maybe in reruns, Camille? No, it was an old show.
No.
And Eight is Enough refers to the amount of kids that they had. And they decided at some point that that was enough. You know, that was eight, I guess, was the amount that they decided. So here's the thing. And this is coming up. We're going to start. I think we may be out of the show next week. But so it'll be the week after next in January. We are going to start promoting this. And I could not be more excited. We give away a lot of stuff, certainly a lot of beef, tickets to events, tickets to races, you know, opportunities to do so many different things that we do here on the show. And I'm excited to do that for the listeners. But this is going to be... This is my favorite thing because we're going to get to kind of, you know, kind of shape it and kind of just beef it up, no pun intended, in a lot of different ways and make it almost kind of perfect. So it's Dane's Ultimate Florida Family Road Trip. So this is a road trip to get down to Florida, to the Orlando area. Global Resort Homes, we're going to be partnering up with them to have a luxury home that you can have for, I don't want to say your entire family because, you know, it could be, I don't know how big your family could be, but up to 10 people. So maybe you draw straws if you got more people than that and figure out who's going to go. But up to 10 people can go, and it's a luxury home that has, they've got really great kitchens. You'll have a bunch of bedrooms. There's usually, you know, there's big screen TVs. It's got its own swimming pool in it, usually its own spa. In it, when I say in it, on the property, so right off the back, it is private. It is yours to use for the entire week. It'll be a week-long trip with up to 10 family members in the Orlando area. And here's some of the things we're going to build into it because we're kind of in those formative stages right now. Is there'll be a couple activities, probably 2 days, where you're going to be able to take that whole group of people and maybe hit maybe SeaWorld, maybe Disney, maybe Gatorland, which is I think is fun. I think you should do that anyway. So let's build Gatorland in no matter what. But the most important thing is to kind of enjoy the home, enjoy each other, the kitchen. There's a grill out back and all that kind of stuff. The other thing that we're going to do, and this is where you can email us, email Camille at on the road with Dane at Gmail. So on the road with Dane at Gmail. And some of the things that you'd like to have, or maybe some suggestions of things to stock the house with. We know that, you know, you're going to be far from home for a while. And of course, we love our city and a lot of the things that go along with our city. And so if there's extra kind of, you know, different foods or different things that you think would be fun to stock it on the food or beverage side, we're going to have some great local craft beers, depending on the family. If that's something that you don't want, we can work around it. Some wines, some steaks, certainly some beef, some things that you can cook right there. So you take some of those indigenous things that we know and love here in Chicago, kind of build those goes in to the trip, kind of stock the house, if you will. But here's the other part that's cool about it is you can choose whatever week it is that you want to go. So if there is a week that you typically get together or typically have off, that's the week that you can go ahead and choose for this. And go to globalresorthomes.com and you'll be able to kind of choose the house. Of course, there'll be some disclaimers if that one isn't available for the week that you want. You may have to pick a different week or maybe pick a different house. They're all nice, but they all are very different. So some are designed maybe more modern. Some have kind of a beachy kind of feel or theme to them. So go to globalresorthomes.com. Take a look at some of the houses, and maybe you can even email ontheroadwithdana@gmail.com with some suggestions, some ones that you like there. But also, I definitely want to hear some of the things you want the house stocked with so we can build that into the contest as we start promoting it probably in 2 weeks. And we'll have at least a month or so for people to enter. We'll figure out all the different ways people can do that. Won't cost anything to enter. And then you can choose, whoever wins can choose that weekend that they want to go ahead and go. So lots of flexibility, Camille. Think about this. It's one thing if you get, you know, a trip for two to Acapulco. That's great. but you don't always get to choose like when you want to do it. Here you can pick any week that works for you.
Yeah, this is great.
And you can pick the different house. Now, when it comes to stocking the house, of course, you're a big foodie. You enjoy all of those kind of things. What kind of things would you want? Things from Chicago, typically, that you'd want to take with to Florida?
Lou Malnati's pizza. Bring that down there.
It's okay. So that's a no-brainer.
Right.
Somebody, maybe Camille, you should email yourself at ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com and suggest Lou Malnati's pizza. That seems like a no brainer. Certainly some meat, you know, some hot dogs. We've got, you know, you know, some Vienna hot dogs, and certainly Bona Beef will have some of those kits, I'm sure, as well. And I think on the beverage side, we've got some great craft breweries here that I think would donate some. And we've got some wineries. Some Cooper's Hawk would probably donate.
Cooper's Hawk.
Goose Island. Yeah. On the wine side, Cooper's Hawk. Goose Island on the on the beer side, so I think that'll be like a ton of different things to go on. What would you want the house stocked with other than
just Lou Malnati's and beer? No, I'm kidding. Maybe some Stan's donuts for breakfast. I don't know. I'm trying to like think of some classic stuff.
Okay. Well, give it some thought. If you think of anything, that email is always available, and encourage listeners to do that. And we'll share some of those as we kind of shape this. But we want to stock the house. We want to stock it with great things from Chicago so you don't miss it too much and have that road trip, the ultimate family Florida road trip that's going to be coming up, 10 people. So stay tuned for details on that. Excited, just really excited to have that for the listeners as well. Last chance, 312-981-7200 to get your first car, favorite car, dream car in to be the bona fide ride of the show from the 773. My dream car is an Excalibur. Wow, those were great. It was kind of a kit car people would put together. 847, my favorite ride is a blue 1969 Z28 Camaro. That is awesome. And then also, too, somebody had a Toyota Corolla. So practical there and fuel efficient. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to announce the bona fide ride of the show. We're going to get people ready for the beat. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. On the Road with Dane, wrapping things up here. Some great cars had come in, a 1976 Cutlass Supreme. That's good. Some more MGs. That has been a popular car, I think, as people imagine themselves in a convertible. But Camille, you've got our winner for today.
Yes, from the 630, the 1974 Volkswagen Thing. It was their dream car, and they were finally able to buy it last year.
Wow, the Thing. See, we mentioned there was a Volkswagen, kind of a Super Beetle, a little bit earlier on in the show, that had kind of the army green and the white star on it. And the Thing, for those people not super familiar with it, was a pretty rare car. You didn't see a ton of them, but it kind of had sort of that military kind of army feel to it. That's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, super exciting. So I'll be giving them a call in just a minute here.
Wow, sounds good. All right, stay tuned for the beat coming up in just a minute. I think we're going to be off next week, but after that, we'll be doing our ultimate Florida family road trip. And again, whatever you want to stock the house with, give us some suggestions. On the road with Dane at gmail.com.